Yes, it is all about the children, even after they're born. Rick Smith. Silent teacher, hold my hand. Lead me to the promised land I go.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website at therickssmithshow.com. So I've got this sticker on the front of my laptop. It says, less testing, more learning. And, you know, I have it there because it's a great conversation starter. When we go out and we do remotes and we're out in public, you know, people point to that. And I've got a couple on my laptop that start conversations. But of all of the stickers that I have on my laptop, that's the one that grabs the most attention. What are you against, testing? And I say, no, I'm actually really in favor of smart testing, diagnostic testing. This standardized test that we have now, these high-stakes stuff, this high-pressure stuff, not so much. So I see our friends over at the Pennsylvania State Education Association have released a policy brief aimed at maybe trying some things a little bit differently, and maybe, who knows, maybe we'll actually listen to teachers and find out how we should be doing it. This is what you, I have asked their president, Jerry Oleksiak, to come talk with us. Jerry, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you. It's great to be with you, Rick. And listening to teachers would be an excellent idea, I think, when it comes to what's going on in our schools and our classrooms.
Who knows? It hasn't been tried. Maybe it'll work.
I think it absolutely would work. And we're ready to talk to anybody to share the ideas that we have that we know will work based on not just research, but on our own classroom experience.
So, you know, in looking at the testing regime that we see now and that has really sprung up since the No Child is Behind left, you know, where did we go wrong? Where did, in your view, where did all of this kind of go off the tracks?
Well, I hate to use the cliches, but it's become the tail wagging the dog. Testing has become almost the reason that we go to school. There is so much time, so much resource, so much emphasis put on, as you said, these high-stakes, high-pressure test. And what we are looking to do is to reduce the amount of time, to make them less high stakes, and to use them more along the lines that they were actually designed to be used for. And it sounds like common sense when we put it out there, but unfortunately, it's something that we have to fight for to remind folks that we spend too much time and effort on testing that doesn't really help our kids.
Yeah, but for those of us who are fortunate enough to not go to school at a time when the test was the focus, you know, I think a lot of us think, well, you know, it's just like when we took the Iowa test back when we were in school. It was maybe an hour or two, a couple of times a year or something. It's not that, is it?
It's not that at all. There are so many different standardized tests that are given from the federal level, state level, district level. We've calculated maybe up to 110 hours a school year that's devoted to that's time lost from learning that's devoted to practice test and test taking, prep for it. It's just entirely too much, and we need to kind of restore some reasonableness to this whole thing, some balance to this whole approach to what we're doing with testing. And with the reauthorization of No Child Left Behind as ESSA, the Every Student Succeeds Act, there's more of the decision-making has gone back to the states. So we're hoping that working with the Department of Education, with the state legislature, that we can restore that balance that we need.
Yeah, it'd be a great opportunity to get kids back to learning because, you know, one of the things at the beginning I said, look, you know, the sticker I have on my laptop has started more conversations than I can count on education, because I think a lot of people have it in their mind that testing and learning are the same thing. That, well, you know, the tests are just showing you what you learned.
Well, they can show what you learn if you're tested on what you've been taught, and that's not always the case with the standardized test. And we aren't, as you said, we're not opposed to testing. We're not opposed to standardized testing. It's what is the purpose, how much time is spent, and does it really help us with the kids? Does it diagnose areas that we need to address? Too often that is not what happens.
Oh, and to be honest, that's the reason that we've opted our kids out of the high-stakes tests these last couple of years. Because, you know, they take these tests, they spend weeks doing it, and then we don't get the results until the next year. And I'm going, but wait, hold on. How do you know what they didn't know, and how do you fix it? It's already too late.
It's already too late. It really doesn't tell you anything about the individual students. It's it's done. And too often under, particularly under No Child Left Behind, it was punitive. It was designed to show what schools weren't able to do and the shortcomings of the schools. And while we certainly have areas that need improvement and schools that need improvement, overall our schools in Pennsylvania are doing a great job. And to kind of go after all of them with testing to fix a problem that isn't going to be fixed by testing anyway, it just doesn't make any sense. And I think more and more, not just parents and educators who have been there for quite some time have understood that, more and more legislators are beginning to see that as well.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. We did the RNC convention last year, and as I said, you know, that sticker got a lot of conversation started, and you know, it was almost unanimous when someone would walk away. Their view of testing after having a conversation was changed because, you know, they think it's like when we went to school, you know, you take a test, you get a grade on it, and you, the next week you take another test. They think it's that. But, you know, when you start explaining that these tests are given and half the time, what's on the test, kids have never even seen before. In fact, the one test they gave my kids at the beginning of the year, they said they've never been, they don't know any of this stuff. We're just testing them so that we'll see what they learn at the end of the year. I'm going, that's nuts.
Yeah, well, and if what you're doing is pre-testing to see where a student may be and then post-testing afterwards, that's something that makes sense, and you can see what kind of growth there's been. At least, you know, that's one measure. That's the other problem with these things. It's become the single measure that is going to say not only how your student is doing, but how the school is doing, how the teacher is doing, how the district is doing, and it just doesn't tell you all that. It was never designed to. It's a shortcut that doesn't work. You know, we need to really take this opportunity we have to fix the wackiness that we have with this and to restore that balance.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I mean, I look at this, and as much pressure as they put on these kids about passing these tests, it wasn't bad enough when I was a kid, my mother saying, you come home with anything less than an A, you're in big trouble. You've now got an entire school system set up on, you have to pass this test. The culture is this test.
Right. Right, and it does become the focus. And you know, we want to go back to addressing the whole child. You know, let's make sure that we have a full and rich curriculum. Not everything needs to be tested. Not everything should be tested. I know in the area where I taught for many years in Montgomery County, we do an annual art show. The teachers sponsor an art show, and every time I see the amazing artwork that these kids produce, whether it's pottery or photography or traditional painting or whatever it is, silk screening, my first thought is, how do you test this?
Well, we don't need that, Jerry. I mean, the reality is all kids need to learn is reading, writing, arithmetic. That's it.
Well, that's unfortunate that we've come to that, and any educator will tell you that any parent will tell you that's not what they want. They don't want the time and effort put into the testing. Some of it is helpful if done appropriately, but it's certainly not what our kids need.
So, you know, we've spent a couple minutes explaining where we are. Where do you want to take this? Where do you guys see or want the testing to go? What do you see the future being?
Well, we have three specific recommendations we've put out in this policy brief that you can find on PSEA.org. PSEA.org/testing. We'll show you what that policy brief is. The three recommendations, one is to reduce the amount of time and to find that balance between instruction and curriculum and assessment. They're all part of a piece. We shouldn't have the overemphasis on the assessment. That's one thing we want to do. We also would like to see, currently we have, and this is the second recommendation, to make sure that we separate testing from graduation requirements. Right now there's a moratorium on the Keystone exams. That's Pennsylvania's, was initially designed as end of course exams in particular subject areas. It kind of morphed into a gatekeeper. You had to pass that test, and it didn't matter how you did in your coursework or what your grades were overall, but if you didn't pass that test, you weren't going to graduate. So we'd like to see that moratorium on the Keystone exams made permanent to separate testing from a high-stakes graduation requirement. And we also would like to see the standardized test used just for the government accountability, where there has to be, from ESSA, there has to be some measure that's used to look at how schools are doing. But that should be what that should be it, and it should be supplemented by multiple measures. So we need to look at a whole range of things that are going on in the schools, whether that's student engagement, educator engagement, socioeconomic factors, student access to advanced coursework, readiness for post-secondary school, college, or training, what the school's climate, school safety, all these things that enter into how well a school is doing. So we can use standardized tests as a piece of that, but we don't want that to become the only thing. So they are three immediate recommendations: reducing the amount of time, separating it from graduation requirements, and using them for the purpose that they can be used for.
Yeah, and to me, the reducing the amount of time, I think, is extremely important.
I agree.
Because, at the end of the day, school learning should be fun. And I've got younger kids. I have kids in elementary school right now. And, this testing time is always really very stressful. Mm-hmm. It's too much for a kid that age, I think.
Yeah, well, we've seen it at kindergarten where we've got to get them ready. It just doesn't make sense. These kids should be. Play is how they grow. Play is how they learn. Play is how they learn how to work things out with each other at that age. And it's an important part of their development. And to take that away so that we can focus on getting them ready for tests they're eventually going to be taking, any educator that's spent more than a few minutes in a classroom will tell you this just isn't the way to do it.
Right, but here's the thing. Parents want to know that their kids are learning. They want that number. They want something that they can hold in their hands. And society has slung a lot of arrows at teachers, and evidently we can't trust teachers, so we have these tests, wonderful tests brought to us by corporate special interests, these wonderful tests of proprietary learning.
Well, I think fortunately we're starting to see that pendulum swing back the other way. People, as you said, are withdrawing their kids out. They're taking their kids out of the testing. They're starting to see that it isn't appropriate developmentally for many kids. It doesn't tell us what they're telling us it tells us. So the more educators have been preaching that for quite some time, we certainly have as an organization. And I think more parents and fortunately, more legislators are coming around to that position as well. Not everyone, and it's still an effort to get people there, particularly some of our legislators. But more and more we're seeing that on both sides of the aisle, people are saying this: we've lost our way here.
So how do we get them from the other side of the aisle over to somewhere on the path? How do we get them coming along?
Well, as you know, it's not a secret. You have to advocate. It's one thing for them to hear from us as an organization, but sometimes we're just dismissed as us just a union looking out for themselves. They don't really care about the kids, which always, I spent over 30 years as a special ed teacher. It always astounds me when I'm told I don't care about the kids. But I think our parents particularly have to let their not just their school districts know, but let their legislators know that they are concerned about the amount of testing, that they want to use this ESSA, the process we're going through in Pennsylvania, to look at our testing as an opportunity. But mainly they need to advocate for themselves and their kids that this is not what we want. It's phone calls, letter writing. It's not a secret. It's something that we need to do as citizens, no matter what the issue is, to make our voices heard. And unfortunately, a lot of what happens with education is a political issue. Fortunately, a lot of this, as I said before, is becoming less partisan, and we're seeing folks on both sides of the aisle realizing this. So the more that parents talk to their legislators about their concerns, the better off we'll be.
Yeah, because I think all parents, right, left, center, non-involved, non-affiliated, whatever, I think they all want the same thing, and that's the best education, the best opportunities for their kids at the time when they can get it.
That's right, and a part of that is also going to be, the resources needed. Fortunately, we have a governor who is doing what he can in the first two budgets, and then what he's proposing is the budget they're working on now to address some of the funding inequities that we've seen. And that makes a difference as well. People need to say our schools need what they need to do what the state wants them to do and to meet the needs of our kids.
Yeah, but money doesn't matter, Jerry. You can't throw money at a problem.
Yeah, it's amazing to me how people that have money say that. Money, we don't want to throw money at a problem either. That's not what we want as an organization. But we certainly want, let's find the schools that need the most. Let's give them the help that they need. Let's give those kids the help they need. Let's fully fund special education at the federal level. That's always driven me crazy. Under the federal education law, IDEA, Individual with Disabilities Education Act, the feds are supposed to fund 40% of special ed costs. They've never come close. 19%, I think, is the highest they've ever gotten. And that has to be picked up by the state and local school districts. So there's a lot we need to fix as far as equitable and reliable and sustainable funding and using that funding in a smart way.
There you go. The website, psea.org. We'll get a link at thericksmithshow.com, how you can take a look at the new report and, maybe contact your legislator. Maybe reach out. Jerry, I appreciate you taking some time for us.
I always appreciate talking with you, Rick. Thank you very much.
Great talking with you, Jerry Oleksiak, president there of PSEA, the Pennsylvania State Education Association. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
They're blue for me and you, and I say to myself, what a wonderful world.
Yes, it is all about the children, even after they're born. Rick Smith.